Good morning. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Welcome to you on this beautiful day and this glorious Memorial Day weekend, where we remember those that have done things for us, from giving their lives to participating in the defense of our nation. And we thank God for those people. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 96, verses 1, 8, and 9. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Fear before him all the earth.
Seated, please. We're going to do something different today. being this special occasion. We're going to ask those men that have served one way or the other in the Navy, Air Force, in the Army. Will you stand, please? And if you're a lady also, if you have served, will you stand as we're going to pray? Pastor, we're standing here. Our brother Wayne on the back. Thank you, sir. And we honor you for your wonders of being in the service. Let's pray together. Father, King David said in Psalm 33 and in verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for clouded mountains, fields and woodlands, for shorelines and running streams, for all that makes our nation good and lovely. We are grateful for farms and villages, for cities and factories and shops and schools, for statesmen and for all those who love our land and guard our freedom. Lord, we cherish this Memorial Day and due celebration of those who before us die fighting at home and abroad. Lord, Memorial Day is not about division, but rather about reconciliation. It is about coming together to honor those who gave their life in order to preserve freedom, freedom that you bestow upon us as our God. Our Heavenly Father, before you nations rise and fall. They grow strong or wither by your design. Help us to repent our country's wrong and to choose right in reunion and renewal. Father, years ago you gave our fathers this land as a home for free men. Show us there is no law or liberty apart from you, and let us serve you modestly as devoted people through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and now we're going to have the offertory, and the offering will take place. Let me have a brief prayer for the offering. Father, we every week we come together as we bring this gospel through radio and through internet and here physically at Bethel Baptist Church. And we pray, Father, that as we together bring the notion that in God we are free, as together we work in this community and around the world through missionaries, we pray that once again you will bring the support that we need for the gospel presentation. Bless the offering and bless the giver in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 563. We will be reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and they shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are the sovereign Lord who has put us in this place and in this time. And Father, our times are in your hands, and we are very grateful for that. We thank you for every spiritual blessing we have in Christ, and that we now lack nothing since we have eternal life and will ever be with the Lord. We thank you for your written word, which will never pass away, and that we have come to believe that word through the gift of faith. We thank you for the knowledge that you are the true and living God, and your promises cannot fail. Our God, you are our exceeding great reward. We pray now for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes now to give you glory through the exposition of the Bible. We pray you would continue to bless him with good health and the ability and the zeal to preach your whole counsel from the Bible, that the name of Jesus Christ might be exalted. We pray for all those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, especially those who remain in unbelief, that they may come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from condemnation and judgment. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. Before we study the Word of God, let's look to God. God, our Father, without your Word, we have nothing to say. And without your Spirit, we are helpless. Therefore, give us your Word today, and let the Spirit show each one of us your way. In Jesus we pray. Amen. In the morning service, we are studying the Beatitudes, which if you have your Bible, that will lead you to Matthew chapter 5, and all the Beatitudes are in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The most common preached Beatitudes are in Matthew 5, 1 to 12. I have said that the Beatitudes are like a ladder that you put against a wall, and each step is a growing step in your Christian character. God is not looking for people who talk. God is looking for people who live what they talk. And so he gave us this ladder that goes up. And the first step has to be in good ground. And it's in verse 3, as you remember, the blessedness of emptiness. No one is big enough, bigger than God. And therefore, the Bible says that the poor in spirit are blessed. Those who do not come to God with anything valuable of their own, actually completely empty, absolutely empty. I want to ask permission to the board in the back if I can take this microphone away, because I'm going to swing it with my hand. The second beatitude was in verse 4, as you remember, blessed are those who mourn, the blessedness of brokenness. Once you are empty, you are able to see God as really is. And then comes a natural result. You are broken before God. You are saying to God, have mercy of me. Then the third beatitude in verse 5, the blessedness of selflessness. Blessed are the meek. And we talk about that quality of life. After you have been empty and broken, then you are completely satisfied in the way you are. You don't need to have a bigger house. You don't need to have a bigger car. You don't need to have a better job. You just got God. You got everything you need. And doesn't matter if you dress like the pastor with a suit and a tie, or you dress in blue jeans. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You are happy in the way you are, and that's selflessness. You don't try to impress anybody. And go. Well, I tell you, the Beatitudes are just wonderful teaching for us. Now today we are on verse 6, the blessedness of openness, which is the blessedness of honesty. The blessedness of honesty. The Bible says in verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You were Greek, you will say diakosume, which means blessed are those who have a desire and a thirst to be accepted by someone. In this case, being accepted by God. The Apostle Paul tells us and told the Greek people that the natural man do not have a natural inclination for God. If you turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians 2:14, page 671. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, page 671. You will notice that Paul tells us that man's natural inclination is to shut himself off from God. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Paul said, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. And by natural man, it doesn't mean you are a believer as a Catholic, or as a Protestant, or as a Jew, or as a Muslim. He's talking about just as you are born and grow up in any country of the world with any indication, you do not have a natural inclination for God. That's what the apostle says. That is the picture of our religious and unregenerated world. The world without God is always searching, but never satisfy. So in every century, if you study history and you study philosophy, in every century you have a new idea and you have something new for you, because men are never satisfied in the natural world. Now, the Savior's commendation in these four Beatitudes is for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be accepted by God, to be justified by God. Those who hunger not after Catholicism, those who hunger not after Protestant or Muslim or whatever, those who hunger to say, God, where are you? I want to please you. That's what the Beatitude is. So I have three things to consider in order to understand this Beatitude. When a person has a desire to know God, there is an indication of a holy desire. An indication of a holy desire. There is an aspiration of a holy desire. And there is a satisfaction of a holy desire. So I want to work together with the Bible and see how all of these fit in the panorama of God's projection. If you are hungry and thirst for God, there is an indication of a holy desire. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, said verse 6. As you well know, words do not exist in isolation. They exist against a background of experience and thought. When the Lord used the words hunger and thirst, he says, speaking very seriously. And because you do not know the original language, I had to go through the Bible to show you how those words were used in different parts of the Bible. There is an intensity of desire. If you turn your Bible to Psalm 42, in verse 1, page 356, Psalm 42, in verse 1, page 356, the word hunger is translated in the New King James Bible properly. The Bible said, as the deer craves for running streams of water, so craves my soul for you. You see that word over there? In the New King James, it craves. As a deer craves for the running of the streams of water, so craves my soul. It's not just that you are hungry, you crave for that thing. That's the desire. That's what God's talking about. An indication of a holy desire. It's not, well, I'm going to see if it's God or not. No, you really crave. I want to find out, is God or no God there? also there is the voraciousness of desire, and the word hunger. Hunger and thirst are no feelings that go away. In fact, they can become greater by what they feed on. See, a sick person has no appetite. You know when you are sick because you have no appetite. I know when I'm sick because I had no appetite. I like to eat the whole day on. Nothing wrong to it. I tell people, eat without fear. Because if you move, and if you do exercise, and if you have a wife that puts you to work, that's good. Spiritually speaking, if he or she ceases to hunger after God, if you say, I'm a believer, but you cease to hunger after God, hunger after prayer, hunger after obedience to God, hunger after service, you are a living corpse. That's how serious it is. That's how serious it is. We are hungry for so many other things. Pleasure, power, popularity, prosperity. But for Christ and His church, we are too busy and have no place for worshiping at church, no time for prayer, no desire to serve in a place at the local church. We have so many of our plans that overlap the plans of God, so you are not hungry and thirst for God. When I understood what God has done for me, I was 18 years old. Full soccer player and a professional team. And in my mind, the question was, why do we have to wait Sunday to Sunday to be with God's people? Before that, I hate Sunday because I had to go to church. You're a pastor? Yes. My mother had to grab me, good Italian mother, and spank me and bring me to church crying. 8 blocks walking, pulling me into the church. I mean, it was there in America, they call a child protection agency and will put my mother under jail. Thank God I was in Argentina. Because I heard the word. She never forced me to believe anything. She said, you need to hear. You need to hear. And I tell you, I have no hunger for God. I want to go to school. I look for nice, good-looking girls. And all kinds of things you do at 17, 18. I was playing soccer, enjoying free money. But Lord spoke to me. And in an instant, in a split of a second, my heart was entirely different. I asked my mother, why do we have to wait till Sunday? And my parents said to me, what's wrong with you? Because a week before, I don't want to go to church. And so my mother said, what's wrong with you? Maybe he's sick, said my mother. I tell you. That's what Jesus is talking about. Coming to church should lead you to service, to pray, to faithfulness. Church is not a theater that you go once there and you enjoy something. Church is a place to learn. It's in a school. If you read Ephesians 4, this church is in a school. If you come every Sunday, looks like you went through seminary. Because we go through the Bible. And my responsibility as your pastor is to feed you with the Word of God, is to present to you the Word of God and pray that the Holy Spirit will lead you. I will never judge you. I will never put my hand on you and say, you do this, do the other. I pray for you. And I let the Spirit of God work. But I teach you. I teach you. It is my business as your pastor to learn myself and then to pass it on to you so that you become hungry for the Word of God. And then you read it by your own and you enrich. Remember what I told you that I learned from Dr. Billy Graham? If you read one Proverbs every day, you enrich your life. And then next month, you start reading again, Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 2. These are the writings that a king wrote for his son. His son blew it, as you know. He raised the taxes of the country and divided Israel. because he wanted to be rich. You think they are wrong politicians today? They were there, those Jews that were wrong too. And they were after money. And his father Solomon told the son, ask the elderly people what to do. His son said, no, I don't want the elderly. I want the young people. There's nothing wrong with the young people, but the elderly have been there before, so it's good to ask them. It's good to ask them and to learn. And this is what happened. The horrible one, he did not listen to his father, and he blew it. And Israel lost the entire relationship with God. They lost it forever. So the first thing to consider is a holy desire. Do you have a holy desire for God? I really am hungry for God. Now, the second thing to consider is an aspiration of a holy desire. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. In practical terms, it means a life of a spiritual transformation. And let me give you two details of that spiritual transformation. It's a life of moral separation. You know, if you read your Bible, very soon you pick it up, that there are 3 degrees of sin the Word of God talks about. If people trying to people in religions try to labor sin and trying to give degrees of sin, but the Bible already established 3 degrees of sin that God considered. Number one, there is a sin of disobedience, a disobedient act. If you turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, page 718. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, you find that those degrees of disobedience. And so Jesus is talking about to have a desire, an aspiration in your life. In 1 John 3 and in verse 4, the Bible said, they that committed sin transgress also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. Now, you say, boy, Pastor, transgression, that's an old King James Bible from the year 1500. It's a word, we don't understand it. So let's look for an example, all right? Let's look on it. For example, if a young man or a young lady plans to marry a young lady or a young man who is not a believer in Christ, I don't say if you are Japanese or if you are Argentinian or if you are Catholic or Protestant. I'm talking about believer. Believer. People label themselves in many labels, but believer is a different story. So if a young man plans to marry somebody who is not a believer, he is transgressing. He is violating the law of God. And I'll show it to you. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:14. 2 Corinthians 6:14, page 681 in your Bible. 2 Corinthians, Paul has to write to the Greek people because there were a lot of religious people in Greece, but they were not believers. They were just formality. And so Paul said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He doesn't say with Italians or with Jews. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness, that's what Jesus is talking in the Beatitude, with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? So what are young men supposed to do then? Follow the law of God. Now, what does the law of God said with respect to marriage relationship? Well, it's very easy. Now you're in 2 Corinthians, go to 1 Corinthians 7:39 and page 674. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39 and page 674. Paul said this, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she's at liberty to marry to whom she wishes. Look at the end. Only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. And so sin is a disobedient act. You transgress the law of God. Disobedience. That's sin. Number two, sin is a disloyal act. Disloyal act. Failure to do what God said. One thing is transgress what God said. The other sin is failure to do what God really said. Go to your Bible, to the book of James, chapter 4, and verse 17, page 712. Book of James, chapter 4, and verse 17, page 712. Sin is also a disloyal act. It's not only transgressing the law of God, but it's a disloyal act. Look at what the Bible said. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him is sin. Now, I, as a pastor, sometimes in my office here, this church is well located and bad located. It's well located for you to come in from every corner. You just drop, get out of the freeway, and you just see the three crosses of Bethel Baptist Church. But so all the people, they walk through the freeway, and all the people who need a hangout, you know, they just come in, and they drop in. And now, as a Christian, we have the obligation before God. If I could do it, I have to help that person. Otherwise, I will commit that sin, the second sin, the transgression of the law, which is not doing what God tells me to do. Because God said, if somebody has hunger, you take your coat and you give to that person. That's the law of God. You will see it. So how in the world, there are days of 7, 8. I mean, there are days where it's nice, only one. So I have made myself, I wrote an outline. What I look in a person, is he honest? Is he lost his job? He doesn't have a house because he got kicked out because he lost his job. And all of these, I have it. And so when somebody came in, I said, sit down over there. I want to have a question for you. And the people think they are going to ask them, what do you need? I said, well, now let me know you a little bit. Where you been? Are you from this city or from another city? Have you asked another church to help you, or this is the first church you help you? Who helped you last week? Who will help you next week? All kinds of questions. Usually by 4 or 5 questions, they leave. So many people tell me, I just want money, man. They said, all right, I can't. Oh, they knocked you again. The man sent the poor women to the office. And so I see 2 or 3 cars over there. And so I get out. So let's get out. Don't worry. I have a little 38. I put it in my pocket. I got out. And I go, it's in the church property. Nobody can say anything. And so I'm there, and they're all like this. When they see me, you're stiff and they drive like this. They want money for gasoline. I say, where do you get the money to put gasoline to come here? And there's no answer. I said, well, listen, I want to help you. Well, if you help me, give me the money. Now, that's not what the Bible talks about. We have an obligation to help those in need. Those in need. Not those who have the habit in America to call. And there are no Spanish or blacks. There are all kinds of people, all colors coming here, asking for that. And so I'm tough. And I say, give me your social security. I'm going to call the police about you. And I get a report. Oh, are you crazy? And boom, they take it off. But there are some people who lost their job. There are somebody who came last week and said, well, I want to say thank you. The job that you asked in Home Depot, now I'm in the management position in 1 month. I want to thank you, he said. And I said, well, man, I said, you have an obligation now. Next month, when you're a little better, just bring the $300 that we pay for you in the hotel and so on to stay for the week. Bring it here so that I can have it for the next person to have. So, I never thought about it. I think about it. That's true. See, it's not my money. It's your money. And I have to be extremely careful. See, we have an obligation. So I do not want to commit the sin of not doing what God asked me to do. But you be careful to do it right. Thirdly, there is a sin of doubtful act. Have you ever been in a place where you say, I don't know what to do? Listen to this. Go to the Bible, to Romans chapter 14, verse 23, page 665. Many of us, many times you said, oh, I don't know what to do. I really don't know. Look at what Romans 14, 23 really says. Page 665. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats. It's talking about something, you know, the Greek people, the Greek people were good business. And they dedicate meat to the idols, and then they sold it. There's nothing, you know, you don't believe in those idols. Got that meat, it was cheaper. Got that meat and eat it. But some people thought, well, if I do that, I may be in sin. And so Paul said to them these words very clearly. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. If you're in doubt and you act it, it's sin. So you wait. I always say to people, this is why we say, hey, somebody, you don't know what to do. You say, let me sleep with the thought. Let me sleep with the thought. I will answer you later. Now, why is it this way? Very simple. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, page 709, in Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse 6, the Bible says very clearly, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. When you work because you want to please God. And you work with honesty. And you want to please God. I just have some workers at home that give us a test of what I'm teaching. For a job of 1 week, took already 2 months and still to be done. And the guy works and he throws the screws and they do this and the other. And I go around and said, well, don't you want to pick up these screws? And I said, well, you know, your boss can use it again. Well, who cares? Well, who cares? He's the one who pays you money. He said, well, I don't care. I said, well, I care. I won't pick it up. And when the contractor came in, he said, here is a box of screws that I collected for you. It took me an hour, so I had to deduct $200 for you because 1 hour of my time. Boy, those employees were fired right away. That's $200 they lost. See, I tell you something. It is very, very important that we please God, period. It's not what I want. It's not what you want. It's not what it is. We need to please God. That's what the Bible says. That's the aspiration. People everywhere are searching for happiness as an end in itself. But happiness is only a byproduct of something far more important, that of a hungering and thirsting after righteousness, which in practical terms is a hunger to be just like Jesus. People say, oh, I'm a Catholic. Oh, I'm a Protestant. Oh, I'm a Muslim. No, the key is this. You have to be just like Jesus and give yourself away. The blessedness of being honest. You need to have an indication of a holy desire, hunger. You need to have an aspiration. I'm going to be like my pastor. Wrong. You need to be like Jesus. And number three, a satisfaction of a holy desire. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, said the King James Version. You can change that word for the word, they shall be satisfied. There is nothing better than to be around somebody who is satisfied. Raquel's mother was like that. I was 18 years old when I drove my bike to see Raquel, and actually then I learned that her mother was so attractive in the conversation that I went just to talk to her mother. I never saw her sad, never complaining. You know how young people are. I bring 3 or 4. One time I bring 10 young people. There were a lot of girls around her house, so we bring a lot of boys into the house. And you know, and her mother said, okay, I cook a little more. And she cooked a little more, and the father will say, Maria, there are a lot of boys for dinner. Don't worry, Antonio. They are all in the house. And I can watch them. And I can see them. Fantastic. Never. There is nothing better than a person that is satisfied. Let me share a complete picture of satisfaction. Verse 6 said, they shall be filled, satisfied. Spiritually speaking, this means being filled with the fullness of God. Now, we Christians believe there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So in order to be satisfied, we need to be spiritually satisfied by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's work out. I have time for that. All right. Look in your Bible, Ephesians 3 and verse 19, page 689. The apostle pray that we may be filled, satisfied with the fullness of God. Ephesians chapter 3. At verse 19, he's praying, the Apostle Paul is praying in Greek territory, and to know, he said, the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with what? With the fullness of God, with the fullness of God. That's a reference to God the Father. I pray that the fullness of God be in your life. God is a God of righteousness. God is a God of respect. You can study all the attributes of God. And Paul said, I pray that the fullness of God be in your life so that you be satisfied. Now, if you're in Ephesians 3:19, go to the page in Ephesians 4:13. And Paul has said that the gift given to men, you know, remember in verse 11, God gave gift to men. Some of them apostles, which are gone. Some of them evangelists, teachers, pastors. And why do you have a pastor? It is to bring you up. It's not to evangelize. The church is not an evangelistic platform. The church is a teaching ministry so that you, in turn, evangelize. Look at why do you have a pastor? Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and on the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. I need to teach you. I need to encourage you. I need to pray for you until your lifestyle measure the life of Christ Jesus. It's not talking about being Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, or whatever. The Bible talks about being equal to the presence of Christ Jesus. Boy, then we have to work, don't we? But also, if you go to Ephesians 5 and in verse 18, the apostle indication is that we may have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, said the apostle, but be filled with the Spirit. Here is a reference to God the Holy Spirit and the reality of his fullness. And so, for they shall be filled. If you really hunger for God, God grants his presence to you. The Holy Spirit grants his lifestyle to you. The Son grants his lifestyle to you, as you see it in the gospel, and the Holy Spirit empower you to do it. There is no excuse, brother and sister, not to be less than that. It is a job. Being a Christian is a job. We need to measure ourselves. The Bible says in James, we need to look in a mirror and see how we are doing. It's amazing. So here is my conclusion. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8 and verse 15, page 605. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 15, page 605. You remember the story of the parable when Jesus saw the multitude. Jesus said that there was a farmer that went into the field, and he did not have these caterpillar machines that now they put a saw. The farmer was walking and spreading the seed in this way, one way and the other. Remember, there was not automatic machines and one guy does 500 acres. No, there were a lot of people just spreading the seed. And he mentioned where they fall. And here in chapter 8 and verse 15 says, Jesus says, but that on the good ground are they, the seed that fell in the good ground, are they which in an honest and good heart He said, the picture that I told you in the parable is this. An honest and good heart, having heard the word, they memorized it, kept it, and bring forth fruit with patience. I like that word, patient. You know why I like it? Because when you look into your life, you know that you don't measure up yet. So, hey, have patience on yourself. Some people are really so criticized of themselves that, oh, I have no perfection. Have patience on yourself. Have patience on yourself. You did it wrong, learn from that wrong. You did it twice wrong, learn again. Don't be stupid. You know, that's the way it is. But that, Jesus said, let me tell you the picture, he said. I told you the picture of the guy who spread the seed. The seed that fall into the good ground are those people who heard the word. They don't become Catholics or Protestants or Muslims. They heard the word of God. The word of God. And when you heard the word of God, then there is a time until you believe it. And when you believe it, you keep it. I mean, you practice it. No one can imitate that. No one without the Spirit of God in your heart can imitate keeping the Word of God. You give this Bible to non-believers, say, try to live like this. I give you 1 hour, he throw it away. Amazing. Amazing. Keep it. And when you keep it, bring forth fruit. One of the things that our children know about us is that they know you parents better than anybody else. You can tell them, let's go to church. You can tell them, you can sing in the choir. You can preach in the pulpit. But your children know who you really are. And I tell you, if you have a, they call me polar personality in medicine, but it's not. If you have a false belief that you said you're a believer and you are not, then when you leave the church, you're going to be somebody else. And that will hurt you. And that will hurt you. A great satisfaction, a holy desire to be always the same, that when people see you, they don't have to guess who you are. They know who you are, whether they like it or not. The blessedness of being honest, said Jesus. You need to have that hunger. And you know who gives you the hunger? God. God. The reason you are here is because God brought you here. The reason the people I listen over radio is because God. They can turn me off. The reason that the people are listening in the internet from Japan to Italy, from Baltimore, New Jersey, New York, is because God gave them that desire to learn from the Word of God. The reason why people are moving from Delaware and from New Jersey to come here because of these churches is because God gave them the desire. People say, how can they do that? Well, God gave them the desire. They're sick and tired of listening to little things, and they want the Word of God to be taught to them. I tell you, what a blessedness. Now, let me ask you a few questions as I close. Are you hungry to know more about God? Are we thirsty for a new experience to walk with Him? Even though that experience will break me in pieces. Some of the things breaks you in pieces, man. I mean, it's tough. The Christian walk is tough, but it's a walk of satisfaction. It's a walk in which you said, I'm doing what God really said. I tell you, Jesus knew what he was saying when he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because if you do that, you're going to be satisfied. Doesn't mean you're going to have a Cadillac with Mercedes like I love it. Doesn't mean you're going to have a big house or a small house. Has nothing to do with this world. Has to be with a tranquility of mind, with a peace of mind, with a serenity of life that attracts other people. The person that brought me to America is now with the Lord. Dies at the age of 95, a man from Holland. when I worked long hours, and maybe it was 11 o'clock in the night over the radio. He lived very close, about 5 minutes from the radio station that I was broadcasting. And we will call it, and we were so friendly with him, we call it Grandpa. And you know, the people from Holland, they love desserts. And his wife used to cook super line, Mrs. Camping also. So I will call it, and I said, are you ready for tea? It's 11:30 in the night or 12 midnight. Yes, I'll be ready. You know, people in Europe don't go to bed until 2 o'clock, not like America, like chickens, they go at 9 or something. They, you know, it's just amazing. And so we sit in their home in Alameda. And we talk about the Lord, and the man was always the same. The peace of that man. I said to myself, I was only maybe 33, 34, 35. I said, I want that. I want that. And so one time I said, Grandpa, where do you get that peace? That wherever we come in, he used to smoke in a nice pipe from Holland, you know. And I said, Grandpa, where do you get this peace? Is it in the tobacco? What is it? It's in the heart, he said. I know God. And I try to live every day to please him. And I'm just happy. May this be our life. May this be our life. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we know you. Thank you that we have a God in heaven who cares for all of us, regardless of our nationality and our race. Give us a desire to please you according to your word. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
How far
is for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus we pray. Amen.